Thank you, choir, a wonderful song. I heard that our choir, our music program is the best in Silicon Valley. Is that right? But not only that, I don't know if you looked around our sanctuary this morning. Did you notice anything different? The beautiful cranes of peace to help us to dream, to imagine, to challenge us. So I want to thank our members who were here for hours yesterday installing these wonderful symbols for us. So thank you. Please tell them thank you for the hours they spend to help us so that our spirits may be challenged and blessed as we worship God together in this place. There's an old Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. In the first frame, Calvin says, "Live for the moment is my motto." He continues, "You never know how long you've got. You could step into the road tomorrow and wham, a cement truck could hit you. Then you'd be sorry you put off all your pleasures. That's why I say, live for the moment." Then he turns to Hobbes and says, "What's your motto?" Hobbes, in his own way, says, "Look down the road." Actually, Advent is about having an attitude like Hobbes, because we as Advent people are looking down the road. And what do we see when we look down the road? We see a new world of peace and shalom. We see a Savior on the way to redeem us. Other people look down the road and see different things. Actually, I always struggle on the first Sunday of Advent because we read these heavy words of Jesus, his end time sayings and predictions, seems like, these apocalyptic sayings, as they call them. And of course, we've had other Christian leaders who've given us a different vision, right, of what is coming down the road. Because when they look down, either to the past or even to the future, they see something different. I'm not going to mention to you so many names, but just a few names that you know. Hal Lindsey of the 70s talked about the late great planet Earth. And he kind of started this ball rolling among some Christians, saying that when they look down the road, what they see? They see a very bleak picture of a future, don't they? They feel like the earth is at its deathbed. And they say, nothing good is down the road. Tim LaHaye in the 90s wrote a series of books called Left Behind series. Maybe some of you have read them or seen the movie. In it, he also suggests that this earth is not worth saving. There is nothing of any good here. God is about to come and send the world packing away. Of course, in California, we've had our own Harold Camping up in Oakland, right, of the Christian radio station, who have suggested that Jesus is coming to take only his people out of this ugly world to a new place. So is that what Jesus is talking about in Luke 21 and other gospel stories when he's talking about the end of the world? Has God set a date for the end of life as we know it? Will God finally abandon the world and destroy it? Now, when we read Luke 21, it is certain that Jesus did not see the world through some pink screen. He doesn't talk about streets of gold or angels singing. He's very realistic about what is happening around us. Natural disasters, wars, devastation. Yet, there is one thing that Jesus was certain when he looked down the road. And in fact, we Christians see what Jesus sees because as the choir sang, we give Jesus a name, Emmanuel. God is here with us. No matter how invisible, no matter how incognito, no matter how hidden God seems to be, we Christians dare to say, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus, in his teaching as he walked among us, was certain that God was still working in this world ever since the time of Adam and Eve to make sure that we fulfill our divine purpose of becoming a human family where we can actually live in peace for each other, where our world can be a vibrant place. Jesus said, "This world is coming." A woman dreamt that she walked into a brand new store in the marketplace. And to her surprise, behind the counter, who does she see? She sees God standing. So she asks, "God, what do you sell here?" And God says, "Everything your heart desires." She couldn't believe her luck. She decided to ask for the one best thing a human being could ask for. She said, "I want peace of mind, I want love, I want happiness, I want wisdom, I want freedom from peace." And then, almost as an afterthought, she said, "Well, not just for me, but for everyone in the world." God smiled at her and said, "My dear, I think you got me wrong. We don't sell fruits here, we sell seeds." Jesus often compared his work and the work of our church as those who follow God and sow seeds in the world. That seed that Jesus placed in us and help us understand the image of God, we call it the Holy Spirit, we sometimes call it, often referred to it as the divine light. Whatever it is that we call it, we know that each of us have received that seed in us. And we have felt this seed growing in us, growing peace, growing understanding, growing a bigger heart, compassion, growing this sense of justice that gives us power to overcome and challenge situations of injustice. We felt it, this seed that Jesus has planted in us. And we dare to speak of this world changing because we know that seed is working in me, and we know that God must be working in other places, sowing the same seed. So there is a question that faces every one of us during this Christmas and Advent season. It says, does our world really need a Savior? In other words, do I need a Savior this Christmas? Implication is that there is a different kind of a world that we are dreaming about, and that each one of us want to be a different kind of a person during this season. A woman was in a coma dying. She suddenly had a feeling that she was being lifted up, taken up to heaven, and standing before the judgment seat. And a voice asked her, "Who are you?" Well, she said, "I'm the wife of a teacher." "I did not ask whose wife you are, but who you are. I'm the mother of our children." "I did not ask whose mother you are, but who are you?" "I'm a businesswoman." I did not ask what profession you have, but who you are. So he went, no matter what she answered, it didn't seem to satisfy the voice. Finally, she said, I'm a Christian. I did not ask what your religion is, but who you are. I'm the one who goes to church every Sunday and always help the poor and the needy. I did not ask what you did, but who you are. She evidently failed the examination because she was sent back to the earth. And when she recovered from her illness, she was determined to find out who she was, and that made all the difference in her life. Well, who are we today in this world? Who are we? I dare to challenge us to say that we are Advent people. People who have been seeded with God's love. People who have been infected by God's hope. People who are able to look down through history and into future and see a different world that is about to appear in us and around us. What can we do this week to be this people, to be an Advent person? One day I was up on the 96th floor of the Empire State Building, and there is a place where you can look down in the city. People are looking all over and the other buildings. I happened to look down on the street level, and of course cars look very small and tiny. I saw a car and a driver who was trying to find a parking spot on this one street. And he saw this space, and I could tell that he's not going to get into that place. But he paralleled, he went in, he bumped the car, he went out, he tried again, bumped it again. And I know what I was hearing, right? But I looked around, and I could see the next street, and lo and behold, there were like four spots, empty spots. I wished I could have just picked the car up and took him over there. We can't see around the corner. Yet, when we look at the world, there is something that I think we Christians have, a vision that is different than the people around us. What does this say? For a lot of the world, they will say, God is nowhere. And a lot of our experience may even tell us that. You might say the world is horrible, nothing's working, people are greedier than ever. Yet when we Christians look at the world, what do we see? God is now here. God is now here because God is here in our hearts. That's why you're here. Isn't that our confession and profession? And because God is here, He changes us. And because God changes us, nothing is ever the same around us. May we be this Advent people this Christmas season. Let me finish with a few verses from Romans 8. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. This week, may we see the world through God's eyes. May we be able to confess, Emmanuel, God is now here with me, with us, in this world. Thanks be to God who sent us Jesus to help us look down the road and plant seeds of a coming new world of shalom. Amen.